Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, who shall dwell in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks and lives uprightly and blamelessly, who works righteousness and justice, and speaks and thinks the truth in his heart. He who does not slander with his tongue, take up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money for interest to one of his own people, and who will not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. I have just read to you Psalms chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and I would like to welcome you to Walking in the Light Ministry. For God is good, and all the time God is good. He is merciful, and he is gracious towards us. Beloved, I am excited about what God is doing here at Walking in the Light Ministry. For he alone is worthy of all the praises, of all the glory, and all the honor. Beloved, I'm going to ask you on this day to get your Bible, get a pad, and get a pencil. Because the Holy Spirit is teaching us about him, about who he is in the Trinity of God. And truly it is a blessing to get under of who the Holy Spirit is. The title of tonight's message is, How Well Do You Know the Holy Spirit, Part 3. And truly, we can all say that we can learn more and more of who the Holy Spirit not only is, but is to us in our very own life. And we're going to get ready to get into the Word of God on this day. But before we get into the Word, we will like to open up with a word of prayer. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we come to say thank you for this day, to give you all the glory, to give you all the honor, to give you all the praise. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to open up your word on this day and look into your word. Father, we ask you to give us eyes that we may see, give us ears that we may hear, and give us a heart to receive from your word on this day. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask you to have your way. Give us the truth and the interpretation that we need from the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for your Son, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming and dying on Calvary's cross for our sins and our trespasses. And we ask you now to forgive us for our sins and trespasses. Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And on the third day, Father, you raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And he's seated at your right hand soon to return to receive his own unto himself. We thank you that you have empowered us with your Holy Spirit. Spirit, truly, thou art welcome in this place. And we thank you for the power that's on the inside of each and every one of us. And right now we serve notice to Satan and his demons. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Every evil deed, every evil work, every evil assignment, we cancel it now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to look over with me into the Gospel of John. the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, and we're going to be looking at our foundational scripture for these series of lessons that we're going through right now of how well do you know the Holy Spirit. We have went over part one and part two. And if you haven't had time to listen to part one and part two, I pray, beloved, that you will go back in your special time to just listen to those messages and follow up by taking down the scriptures and searching the scriptures like the Berean church used to do. Search the scriptures and let's see what the Holy Spirit is wanting to reveal to us. And so this day we too are going to be writing down scriptures as well. And as we write down these scriptures, go back and search these scriptures and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Our foundational scripture for these lessons is in John chapter 15 and verse 26. John chapter 15, and Jesus here is speaking, and he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit, that's capital S, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. That is our foundational scripture. How well do you know the Holy Spirit? Jesus said when he's going to ask the Father to send you another comforter. Jesus was talking to his disciples because he knew he was getting ready to go to the cross and he wasn't going to be with them much longer. But he was going back to the Father. But he wasn't going to leave them comfortless, but he was going to send them another helper. And this helper was the Comforter. And this Comforter is the Holy Spirit that's here on the earth today wanting to reveal himself to all who will let them reveal himself to. You know, life for some can be a lot easier when they understand how to receive the Holy Spirit and pay attention to what he wants to show you and work through you. The Holy Spirit is not some mystical force or some superpower that you can conjure up. The Holy Spirit is divine. The Bible says over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe on the name of Jesus Christ? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to come and fill you? See, since you believe and confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. What Jesus was telling us over in John chapter 15 and verse 26 is that he was going to send me some help. Because Jesus knew that in our life's journey, we're going to need some help. He knew that we could not do life on our own. He knew that the burdens and the cares of this life will weigh us down if we allowed them to. He knew the burdens of mankind, what man wants to do to another man, will be a burden. Because some men's deeds are evil. And he knew that we would need a comforter. He knew that we would need a helper. He knew that the enemy that he saw fall like lightning from heaven to this earth, the one who is cursed throughout all eternity, would try to bring havoc on God's people. And so therefore, you and I, we need the Holy Spirit, not only when we just gotten saved, not only do we need him last year or last month or last week, but you and I need the Holy Spirit every day of our life we have on this earth. We need him. We need him. We need him. We need him. So therefore, we have to know him and know who he is and how he operates. We were talking in part two about the deity of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to move a little further now. And as we move a little further, we're going to be sharing not only his deity, but his divine attributes, how his divine distinction from the Father and from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is divine, my brothers and sisters. He is holy. He is God. And Spirit told a woman at the well in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The same essentials and moral attributes ascribed to the Father and the Son are also ascribed to the Holy Spirit. This could only be so if the Holy Spirit is indeed a divine person. Some of the essential attributes of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is called God in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. The Holy Spirit is eternal. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. He's all power. Chapter 1 and verse 35. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, all knowing. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. Psalms chapter 139, verses 7 through 10. The Holy Spirit is the life source in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. The moral attributes. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. John chapter 16 and verse 13. He don't tell a lie. When he tells you something, he's telling you the truth. When he leads you, he's leading you in the way of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. See, you can't love without the Holy Spirit. The only way we can love, my brothers and sisters, we have to have the Holy Spirit. You say, yeah, but the world is showing us love. That's not true love. What the world shows you is not true love. Only God has the true love. And it flows through the Holy Spirit. He gives us the true love. See, that love that the Holy Spirit gives, when someone do you wrong, you will pray for them. When someone talks about you, you will pray for them. When someone misuses you, you will pray for them. You will have the same mindset as Jesus had when he was hanging on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or you will have the same mindset that Stephen had when he was being stoned to death by the mob. Stephen looked up towards heaven and said, Lord, please don't hold this to their charge. They were killing him. But yet he went right on loving. See, that's the Holy Spirit's love. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of holiness. There's no defilement in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. There's no defilement in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. See, when the Holy Spirit is inside of you and inside of me, our spirit man is not defiled. It's this fleshly man that's defiled. That's why when we go to be with the Lord after we're caught up in the rapture, when we go to be with him, we're going to receive a new body. We're not going to receive a new spirit because our spirit man is already perfect. Because it has the Holy Spirit living on the inside. But we're going to receive a new body. Because this body on the outside is the one, is the thing that's defiled. That's why the Bible tells us we war, the flesh wars against the spirit. And the spirit wars against the flesh that's on the inside of us. And this, our spirit man, is where the Holy Spirit lives. The divine works being attributed to the Holy Spirit. His divine works that are attributed to him, even as to the Father and the Son. These works. These divine works that are attributed to him attest to his deity. The Holy Spirit was active in the creation of the world, as well as in the creation of animals and man. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Job chapter 26, verse 13. And Job chapter 33 and verse 14. Psalm chapter 104 and verse 30. The Holy Spirit was active in the inspiration of sacred scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verses 2 and 3. The Holy Spirit is active in regeneration of fallen man and making man a new creation. John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5. Remember Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, He just told him, say, that which is spirit is spirit, but that which is flesh is flesh. You must be born again. The Holy Spirit makes us born again. See, this is what keeps you and keeps me here on this earth. When someone comes up to us and says something that just makes us mad on the inside, the Holy Spirit will keep you. Because if you was the old you prior to receiving Jesus Christ as your, confessing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and receiving the Holy Spirit, if you was that old person, you will get back with them. You may even take the argument or the fight to another level. But because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit will restrain you when turning back into that old person. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, glory, hallelujah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Holy Spirit is active in the resurrection of the body, which involves a creative act in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. See, it should be evident from the preceding paragraphs that the person of the Holy Spirit is seen by Scripture as being God. The Scriptures teaches us in what we study that the Holy Spirit is God. The Scriptures reveals concerning the character and attributes of God can be applied to describe his person. He is the third person of the triune eternal Godhead. And as God, the Holy Spirit, he is co-eternal, co-existent, and co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus our Christ. The Bible reveals one God existing in three persons, even the Father, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Distinguishable, but invisible. The Holy Spirit is God. In spirit form. He is divine. He is holy. He's working not only in our lifetime, but he also worked in the Old Testament. Through the Holy Spirit was not, though the Holy Spirit, he was not available to all flesh in the Old Testament. Like he's poured out upon you and me today, all flesh. He wasn't available like that in the Old Testament. He was only seen working among the chosen nation of Israel. The Holy Spirit is mentioned over 90 times in the Old Testament book. One of the ways the Holy Spirit was working in the Old Testament book, the work of the Spirit, he was in creation. We talked about that earlier. The Spirit of God was active in the creation of the heavens and earth. Job chapter 26 and verse 13. Psalm chapter and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 40 verses 12 through 14. The Holy Spirit of God was active in the restoration of the earth before the creation of man in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit of God was the life-giving breath even to the animals of the earth. Psalm 104 and verse 30. The Holy Spirit of God was active also in the creation of man, the masterpiece of God's creative act. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And Job chapter 33 and verse 4. The Holy Spirit work in redemption. The Holy Spirit of God strove with man in the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Where God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Spirit of God quickened Noah to preach the word as a preacher of righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 18 through 20. You see, the Holy Spirit, in order for a preacher to preach righteousness, he must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Preacher cannot, hear me, my beloved brothers and sisters, a preacher cannot preach righteousness apart from the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us to try the Spirit by the Spirit. Sometimes when we're listening to a preacher's preach, person has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to preach what is right. If he's not empowered or she's not empowered by the Holy Spirit, they cannot preach righteousness unto you. The Holy Spirit has to empower them. The nation of Israel often resisted the Holy Spirit of God, who spoke through the various prophets in their history. In Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 52. The Holy Spirit of God is inspiration. In the writings of scriptures, both Old and New Testament, the Holy Spirit moved upon the prophets, giving them revelation and inspiration, and causing them to write the sacred scriptures. The Holy Spirit, through the prophets, foretold the suffering of Christ our Lord, and the glory that should follow in the church by the power of inspiration. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, 2 Timothy in verse 16, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 and verse 12, and Acts chapter 28 verse 25, 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2, and Matthew chapter 22 and verse 43, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. His inspiration he gives to us, the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit worked in Israel, the only nation in which we see a distinctive operation of the Holy Spirit was the chosen nation of Israel. Here, the Holy Spirit can be seen equipping, inspiring, energizing, and clothing men with himself. The work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament saints seemed temporary in contrast to his work in the saints in the New Testament time. The Spirit came only upon a select few in pre-days before Jesus Christ went to the cross. In contrast to the Holy Spirit being available for all in the last days. Talks about it over there in Job where it was prophesied. He was one of the ones that had the Holy Spirit upon him. Job prophesied that in the last days, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. The same Holy Spirit that was only on a select few in the Old Testament has now been poured out upon millions upon millions upon millions here in the last days. And my brothers and sisters, if you don't think we're living in the last days, giving you a testimony. Because many today are walking around full of the Holy Spirit. Many today are walking around prophesying in the Holy Spirit. Many today are walking around having dreams in the Holy Spirit. Many today are walking around having visions in the Holy Spirit. And we are living in the last days. You know, I often tell people this here. I say the Holy Spirit works in so many different ways that you have to be walking in the Spirit, His Spirit, to hear. The Bible says the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And we know the things of God, Spirit to Spirit. It is revealed to man's spirit by the Holy Spirit. And so when you're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when you're walking in Him, He can speak to anybody at any time. That's how awesome He is. See, sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak through a little smaller child if you're listening to what the Spirit is saying, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak through an elderly person or someone in between. If you're listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, He will guide you. He will lead you. He will teach you in all truth. He's not only here to provide for. He's here. He is God. His Spirit for us. Dwelling in those who have received Him. The Holy Spirit of God enabled Joseph to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 38. It was the Holy Spirit of God who gave wisdom for the building of the tabernacle of Moses according to the divine pattern in Exodus chapter 28, verses 3. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. In Exodus chapter 35 and verse 31. The Holy Spirit quickened the 70 elders to prophesy in the camp of Israel in Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 through 29. The Holy Spirit in Judges, He delivers in Israel and they were equipped by the Holy Spirit for their ministry. Othniel, in Judges chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Gideon, chapter 6, and verse 34. Jephthah, chapter 11 in Judges, and verse 29. And Samson, in Judges chapter 14, verse 6 and verse 19, in chapter 15 and verse 14. The Holy Spirit was working through these men. And Joshua, he was equipped with the Holy Spirit of wisdom after Moses has laid his hands on him, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, and Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18. The Holy Spirit of the Lord was upon David as king, David as prophet,
and David as the psalmist in Israel, which we know that he wrote a good portion of the psalm. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, and 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 12, and 2 Samuel chapter 23 verses 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit was upon King Saul under the prophetic of this anointing in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6 and verse 10. In 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6 and 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 23. Even the priest of the Lord had the Holy Spirit upon them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 14 and verse 17, in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 20, and Luke chapter 1 verse 5 and verse 67. The prophets were men who had the Holy Spirit upon them in various measures. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, and Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 52. Balaam, in Numbers chapter 24, and verse 2, Azariah, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and verses 1 and 2, Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18, and verse 12, in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 16, Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 1 through 18, and Amaziel, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 18, Zechariah, 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 20, Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 8 and verse 3 and chapter 11 verses 1 through 5 and verse 24. Daniel in chapter 4 verses 8 through 9 and verse 18 and Daniel chapter 5 verse 11 and verse 14. Isaiah in Acts chapter 28 and 25, Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 9, and Jeremiah chapter 30 verses 1 through 2, and Joel 28 and Acts chapter 2 verse 16 through 17. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will be upon these men, and they were doing a work. He didn't come just to entertain them. He came because he had a work for them to do. Thus, judges, kings, priests, and prophets of Israel, they experienced the Holy Spirit upon them and were known as the Lord's anointed. This is the scripture. This is why the Lord said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. It's because they was anointed men. All of these men in their offices typified Jesus Christ, the anointed one, who would have the Holy Spirit upon him in the fullness when he came in the New Testament time. Close of the Old Testament period and the ushering in of the New Covenant times, there were particular and special operations of the Holy Spirit. Undoubtedly, this was because of the new era that was about to be brought in with the coming of the Messiah and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Zechariah and Elizabeth had a unique experience of the Holy Spirit relative to the birth of John the Baptist, Messiah forerunner, in Luke chapter 1, verse 41 through 42, and verse 67. John the Baptist himself was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb and minister in the Holy Spirit and power of Elijah. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit in order for the virgin birth of the Messiah to take place. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55. See? Both Simeon and Anna, a prophetess, came by the Spirit into the temple at the time of the dedication of the baby Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 32. It is worthy to note a number of phrases which describe the Spirit's coming and work in or upon these chosen vessels. We see how the way the Holy Spirit moved upon them. We see how the way the Holy Spirit worked in them. We've seen the sign of the Holy Spirit. Spirit came upon me, Judges chapter 6 and verse 34. First Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 18. Second Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 20. And shows how the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, clothed them. If he clothed them back in the Old Testament, how much more is he clothing us today? How much more is he empowering us today? That's why we have to be careful, beloved, for what we say out our mouth. We have to be careful because we have the divine one himself, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of us. He came mighty upon the men in the Old Testament. In Judges chapter 14 and verse 6, and 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 10, and 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. He was mighty upon them. He indwelled them, these men, in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 38, and Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18, and Daniel chapter 4 verses 8 through 9, and Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 30, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. The Holy Spirit, he filled those and equipped them for the service. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 7. The Holy Spirit rested upon them. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 15, and in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 17, in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 2, in Judges chapter 3 and verse 10, and Judges chapter 11 and verse 29, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 1, in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 21, and Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Holy Spirit moved upon these men in Judges chapter 13 and verse 25. And the Holy Spirit also entered into them in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2, and Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 24. We should remember that these expressions happen only to chosen men of God, the select few for whom the Spirit came to equip for divine service. However, as it has been seen, there was a definite difference in the experiences of the Holy Spirit of Old Testament saints as there is in the New Testament saints. And we're going to get into the New Testament saints in part four of how well do we know the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that we need to go back in these scriptures that I have spoken unto you on this day. Look at how the way the Holy Spirit dwelt in the men of the Old Testament, in the Old Testament days. Because when we get into the New Testament, oh, my Lord, you're going to see something. You're going to see something that's going to open your eyes to a different revelation of who the Holy Spirit is. And things you didn't know that he's wanting to do with you now, that he didn't show, do everything in them back then. Oh, beloved, get ready. God, I pray that you will go back and study what we have just studied about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. I pray that you go back and just allow the Holy Spirit to give you revelation of how he dealt with them. And get you ready for how well do you know the Holy Spirit, part four, which we will be talking about next Saturday, if the Lord's will, at 7 p.m. And if you were listening to this message on today, and if you don't know the Holy Spirit in the pardon of your, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins, we're going to ask you to pray a simple prayer. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for you, for your sin, you shall be saved. And it's a simple prayer, my beloved brothers and sisters. All you have to say is just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father, I come now, asking you to forgive me of all my sins and my trespasses. I believe that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for me. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on that cross for me. And I confess with my mouth. And on the third day, you raised him from the dead. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus Christ's name. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may know your Holy Spirit, who is you in the Spirit, your divine holiness. And I thank you now, Father, in Jesus Christ. And beloved, if you prayed that simple prayer with me, the Bible says over there in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, that the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that repents. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you today. I'll say to you today, beloved, get you a Bible. Scriptures with us. Join me here next Saturday at 7 p.m., if it's the Lord's will, that we will move further in how well do you know the Holy Spirit, part four. And we will see how the way the Holy Spirit is going to begin to deal with us in the New Testament now. And you don't want to miss that, my brothers and sisters. You don't want to miss it. He's awesome. He's powerful. And he's here. Just waiting on you. How well do you know the Holy Spirit? He's here. And he wants to reveal himself to you. Oh, beloved, you got to get ready. Don't just think what we're doing here is just passing time. We're living in a world that's getting closer and closer to the end. And it may come a time in this world that you may not have a physical Bible to pick up in your hand.
That's why it's so important to know the Holy Spirit and to know what God's word says. Because in that hour, he will bring it back to your remembrance what you need. Well, beloved, I'm excited about what he's doing. I can't wait till we get back into this lesson, part four, next Saturday, if it's the Lord's will. Truly, it has been a blessing to be here with you, here at Walking in the Light Ministry. Beloved, I pray that you go in peace, and may God's richest blessing be yours.